0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as the new Scottish League season gets underway. Dundee United against Rangers is the curtain raiser as the Derek McInnes era at Ibrox begins. Massive fixtures to follow right through the weekend, culminating in Flag Night at Celtic Park on Monday. And speaking of the hoops, West Ham bid for Arne Engels and is Alistair Johnston on his way to Everton. The 25-26 season was one of the most dramatic of all time. How will the new campaign compare? We start to find out tonight and we cannot wait. I'm Gordon Duncan as always, and joining me in the studio tonight, you've got Scott Allen and David Friel of the Scottish Sun. The summer, the World Cup, the League Cup, the European qualifiers, forget all that. The main show is back in town.
Gordon, it was 76 days ago that Callum Osmond ran through and slotted in that title winner for Celtic against Hearts. We are back. What a game to kick us off. Dundee United against Rangers at Tannadice. Always a great fixture. And as you said, last season, one for the ages. One of the best I can remember, probably the best I can remember. And if we get a quarter of the drama this season, we're in for a treat.
I know people think you're duty bound to say this, Scott, but I'm excited. I've got that wee...
I'm excited as well, and we are ready to go. What an opener we have, a mouthwatering opening fixture up at Tannadice. Rangers, new manager, new players in, new captain. It will be interesting to see how they're going to look, and it continues all the way through to Monday when Celtic host Dundee. Listen, it feels only yesterday we were talking about Celtic being league champions, but we go again, really looking forward to it.
Cannot wait, and if you're half as excited as we are, then we definitely want to hear from you tonight on 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. It's not to say I'm not absolutely delighted to be joined by David Friel of the Scottish Sun and Scott Allen, but just a quick message to our old pal Hugh Keevans. He's had a bit of a health scare. Let's call it a big health scare. He's been in the hospital. He's recovering in the house. And obviously not able to join us at the moment, but I know for a fact he'll be listening. It'll take more than that to get his transistor radio pried away, and he will be listening, poring over every word you two say, and hopefully we welcome Hugh back in the near future. So all the best to Shug, and he wouldn't want us to dwell on that too long. He'd want us to probably stick the boot in a wee bit and give him some stick.
I feel we're
getting his predictions. Can he send these predictions from the Royal Infirmary?
I think he can send it in the Nokia.
Surely.
Do you know what he texted me yesterday, and he just finished with, "The old man will be back." And that's you.
I mean, he's been called worse. Well, anyway, all the best to Hugh, and give us a call right now, please, on 0141 951 1025. All your thoughts. This is it. It's your last chance to get all your pre-season thoughts out there, off your chest and over to us, because after this you've got something to go on. We're going to see action tonight. We're going to see new signings in action. We're going to see new managers trying to strut their stuff against managers that have been there for a while. All of the question marks that hang over everyone in the summer, they start to get answered this weekend. So this is your last chance to get any pre-season thoughts out there, any pre-season predictions. Get them in and let us know how you're feeling generally ahead of the new campaign. Could it possibly be as dramatic as the last season? Do let us know your feelings. If you want to get a bit more specific, and please do, what about tonight, Rangers fans? How are you feeling? You've not got a good record on the opening day of league seasons in recent campaigns. Does that change tonight? Is Derek McInnes the man? What will the team be? I've missed that over the summer, a nice wee debate about what the team is going to be and who should be picked and who shouldn't. I think we know one for sure. Lauren Shankland will lead the team out, having been made Rangers captain this week. But what do you want to see? What gives you the best chance? How important is it you got off to a winning start? And any Dundee United fans, you'll be hoping to spoil that. So 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, yet again, another summer dominated by transfer talk. And today there's loads of it, but not for players coming in. I hate to break it to you. Arne Engels, subject of a couple of bids from West Ham. Celtic said to be holding out for more money. And Martin O'Neill not only acknowledging that and sounding like it could be possible, but advertising the fact that he's spoken to David Moyes about Alistair Johnston being a target for Everton. Could you afford to let them both go? And do you have faith that they will be adequately replaced? 01419511025. Just a quiet Friday at Lennox Town for you today, David Friel.
Yeah, I think in total it was about 40 minutes with Martin O'Neill going through various different things. And as you said, the headline news was that Arne Engels, West Ham have made an offer, Celtic have rejected it, and David Moyes did the courtesy of phoning Martin O'Neill to say that a bid would be coming in for Alistair Johnston as well. Two huge players for Celtic. I will be surprised if Celtic agree to sell them before the Champions League playoff, but judging by what Martin O'Neill said, that is a real possibility.
Come on, 01419511025. Whether it is the transfer business, any of the fixtures across the weekend, or more pressingly, the one that's happening tonight, let's get stuck in on the phones and we will set the scene perfectly, because Andrew McLean, who's had a very busy summer, no time off for this man, and he's at Tannadice this evening.
Yeah, well, what a summer it has been. What an end to the season it was. The memories of that chaos at the end of last season are still fresh in the mind. But here we are at the start of a new campaign, and you know Scottish football is back, because I walked from the car to the stadium about half an hour ago, not a cloud in the sky, completely blue. And just a few moments ago, the Dundee United players that were out inspecting the pitch had to run inside, because it is now absolutely torrential rain at Tannadice. So it is going to be pretty wild conditions for this game tonight. But back to the football, there's been so much change at Rangers since the end of last season. Danny Rowe gone, most of the leadership group has been disbanded. Derek McInnes and a host of new players are in, and a sense of pre-season hope for supporters that they'll hope will translate into the first match of the season. As you mentioned, Rangers really haven't had a classic opening game for a good while now, so can Derek McInnes change that and make an instant impact at Rangers? Fans will be interested to see how many of those new signings start tonight. Surely Lauren Shankland will be in the starting lineup, of course, been named the new Rangers captain earlier on in the week. What will the formation look like? Will he be partnered by Yusuf Charmiti, who's going to play out wide because Rangers have a lack of wingers at the moment? Lots of questions to be answered. As for Dundee United, a steady season for them last time out, 7th in the league, quarter-finals of the Scottish Cup. Can they now kick on after topping their League Cup group? A few new additions from Australia. They brought in Dylan Tate from Falkirk, who's impressed in his first few appearances, so we'll see how they line up today under Jim Goodwin. It's an 8 o'clock kick-off tonight in Dundee, meaning that team news should be in around 35-40 minutes time.
It's always a massive event, Scott, when a new season starts, for any club, then for a club like Rangers, but particularly after the summer that they've had, as Andrew alluded to. Just so much intrigue around this one tonight.
There really is. I think obviously you look at the way the season ended for Derek McInnes at Hearts, and then fast forward a few weeks and he's now the Rangers manager, and they went straight to business when the transfer window. Shankland comes in, he's now captain. For me, best striker in the league at this moment in time, best finisher, hold up play. So he does give Rangers something in the box that didn't have last year. How that looks next to Charmiti up front, well, it all depends on the sort of service they're going to get. I still think they're short and wide areas getting into tonight's game. But you look at the shape that they've had over pre-season, it's looked like a 4-4-2. Devlin's came in, he's shown the energy, all the things that you can associate with them. I just feel we're a Rangers team, the game asked for different things at different times to go and create, and that's my one wee question mark. So I'm actually intrigued to see how that plays out tonight.
Bigger picture though, David Field, this is the sixth season in a row that Rangers have kicked off a new league campaign with a different manager. That cannot continue. And is Derek McInnes the man to start a period of relative success, at least for the Ibrox club?
Yeah, but I think first of all, Rangers need to get relative stability. You know, the success will come, and Derek McInnes has been, you know, he's not shied away from it in terms of his interviews so far, and he has spoken about how he knows what needs done. But, you know, it's about standards, it's about demands, it's about dealing with the expectation as well. Because I think that Rangers over the years, Gordon, you talk about different managers and Rangers kind of problems over the years, they've had good players in there. They have had good players, but the mindset's been questioned. And I think Derek McInnes' first job is to go in and change that, to alter that, and to go to places like Tannadice in the first game of the season and come away with the 3 points, because too often Rangers got off to false starts in the league, and I don't think they can afford to do that tonight. Obviously, there's 37 games to go after this one, but they need to set the tone. They need to try and go and get the 3 points.
Yeah, I would echo that. I think it's momentum is so important, especially with all the new players you touch on there, but especially for Derek McInnes. And you couldn't ask for a more experienced manager in Scottish football to obviously go up to Tannadice tonight. And it'll be, listen, Andrew speaks about the weather, but a zip on the surface. And pressure's on right from the get-go for Derek McInnes and these Rangers, but it's up to them to come through that and show they're going to mount a serious title challenge this year.
Kyle is a Rangers fan on 01419511025. Kyle, this is it. What a summer it's been. It is almost over. Can you sum up how you're feeling ahead of the new campaign?
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good,
thanks. I'll start, I think, don't get me wrong, I'm blindly optimistic, and I think we'll go on and we'll win the league through thick and thin this year, but the real reason I called was just to discuss Rangers' transfer strategy. I think we're sitting here 2 hours before kickoff, and it's such a lopsided squad that I find it utterly, utterly bizarre that somebody's sat and looked at this and thought, aye, this is what we need for the season ahead. We are inundated with sort of central midfield players. You know, off the top of my head, we've got Dan Neal, Cammy Devlin, Drago Jevic, all brought them in. We've got Nico Raskin, Diamande, who else?
Chukwuane.
Baron, Lyle Camry, Chukwuane. I'd even maybe include Asgard as a centre mid, because I think Shanklin's now going to take on that sort of number 10 role, or the playing off the striker role. So we're only going to play two of them, maybe three max. But in contrast, you look at the sort of wide options for tonight. Gassama, who I think was a bright spot to start last season, but fell away quite massively. And then you've got Finlay Curtis, who I'm excited to see how he develops, but do I want him as my starting winger going into this season ahead? Probably not.
Do you know why I love Kyle's call? Because it just sums up being a football fan. Kyle's given me a long, long list of problems there, but he thinks Rangers will win the league anyway.
I know.
in spite of all those issues, and that's kind of what we're here for.
But it's fair. It's fair with me. You actually look at that, and I think at the end of the season, you would have been looking at the wide areas as the key area where Rangers had to improve. You look at it tonight, I think you most likely see Asgard off a side. That's what Hook coming into pockets and trying finding a different role for him in the team. And I think he's looked bright over the two pre-season games that I've seen. I think came back from the World Cup with a real impetus to go and be the guy at Rangers who is the creative force. I do believe that. It's then on the other side, do you start Curtis or go with Gassama? And that's the big call for Derek McInnes tonight.
Yeah, I mean, just to agree with Kyle, I just think the Rangers squad is bloated and it's lopsided as well. You know, you could probably field a full team of central midfielders today. I think Nico Raskin's going to go, so I think some of the work in getting guys like Dago Jevic in was to kind of almost cover that, but I would imagine Derek McInnes probably wants at least two wingers, Gordon, to be perfectly honest with you. He still needs cover at left back as well, maybe even another centre half, depending on what happens with John Souter, if Rangers can get him out. And yeah, look, I think Rangers have done some good work, but they have still got four or five to bring in, and I think the squad, if Derek McInnes has his way, will look a lot different come the end of the window.
Rangers don't have a brilliant record in the opening fixture, Kyle. Now there's reasons for that, where Celtic tend to win the league, they tend to start the next season at home, Rangers start it away, those are tough fixtures. So, you know, there are reasons, but you must be a bit kind of sick of those opening day woes and desperate to get off to a good start tonight.
Obviously desperate to get off to a good start, but I don't think, you know, I don't think how we started last season is going to be repeated. You know, what was it, like 1-7 or 2-7 to start under Martin? I don't think we're going to have that issue. As I say, kind of blindly optimistic going into the game tonight. And yeah, I really do fancy it. I think we will get it right. But I just think, you know, 2 hours before kickoff, pointed out all those holes we've got in the squad. I would have just liked to have seen us got it ready for sort of opening night, and I don't think we've done that, and I think it might come back to bite us, but you know, we'll wait and see, I guess.
It's 38 games long, in case anyone's forgotten, Scott Allen. The points you pick up on the first day are worth the same as the last day. There's just something about it in recent seasons. It just feels like we've seen it before, where Rangers go to these potentially tricky away venues and they turn out to be tricky. I think only that win at Livingston a few years ago, when was that, 2022 was the last time Rangers won in the opening day. It's not to say you lose it, you can't possibly go on and win the league. Of course you can, but just for everything that's gone around Rangers this season, Derek McInnes will be desperate to get that up and running.
Football's just in a different landscape now, so getting off to a good start is what any new manager coming into a club who knows what the demands are going to be like. So I think anything other than a win tonight for Rangers, there would be you have moans and groans. There's no getting away from that. They then talk about maybe not having players in, as we just spoke about, in key areas that were looked at coming the end of last season. So It's the same for every club this season throughout the leagues. You want to go off to a good start just to build something, and momentum is everything in football. So for Derek McInnes, it would be the perfect start.
Gordon, I'm sitting in the great man's chair, so I think I should borrow some of his patter. What do you think? A draw is a disaster. A defeat is a catastrophe. He'll like that.
He'll be smiling at his... No. His lawyer will be on the phone. I think you'll find... Do you know what? He'll be warned to find that even from having crawled out of his hospital bed, he's still getting stick on social media because I believe the predictions have now landed on there. And there is absolutely no sympathy for him. I haven't even seen who he's tipped, but I think I can guess. Kyle on the line thinks Rangers will win it. Last night, Gordon Dalziel and Cammy Bell went for Rangers to win it. David Friel, who's going to win the Scottish Premiership before a ball is kicked?
I think Celtic will win it, Gordon. I think they've been so consistent domestically under Martin O'Neill. It was a struggle towards the end, or certainly in the second half of last season, but I think over the piece Martin O'Neill gets results. I think in Camilo Duran and Casper, who Celtic have invested a lot of money to get some firepower. They're not finished yet. They're after the Algerian winger, Fares Gyökeres. They're after Mika Bauer. Obviously, there will be players going out, but I just think at the top end, Celtic will have enough to win the league again.
I went with Celtic as well, for the same sort of reason. I just think that firepower up top, and people will argue with that and say Shankland and Chermitian, rightly so. But I just feel Celtic have been so consistent over the last few seasons in getting the job done. Not to say there wasn't some very poor spells within their season, but to still overcome that, considering some of the things that were happening around the club last season, I'm going to go for Celtic.
It is nearly there. We are nearly done with all the pre-season talking. Tannadice, the venue for the opening game of the new season. Thank you to Kyle, Rangers fans, Dundee United fans. How are you feeling ahead of that one tonight? And we can talk Celtic transfers as well. Give us a call.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel of the Scottish Sun is here alongside Scott Allen, and the excitement is building. The new Scottish Football League season is almost upon us. 1 hour and 19 minutes, if my arithmetic is correct, and we will be up and running like we've never been away once again. We'll go back to Tannadice pretty soon and give you all the team news. Let's talk about Celtic transfers. So much talk about who is coming in. What about who might be going out? Because Daizen Maeda has already gone. Celtic fans say the squad needs more as it stands. And then today, news of West Ham putting in a couple of bids for Arne Engels, and Martin O'Neill revealing he has spoken to David Moyes regarding Everton's interest in Alistair Johnson. How do you feel about that, Celtic fans? Can't imagine that's brilliant news on the eve, on the night the new season begins. So listen to this from Martin O'Neill. This is the update, and then let us know what you think.
Yeah, I think the West Ham, there's definitely truth in that. I think there's been something put in, but it doesn't remotely meet our valuation, for a start. And the same with Alistair. I think Everton have been in contact. I'm not sure whether there's been a bid in there for that one, but they've been in contact saying that they would be. And in fairness, David did call me last week and saying that there would be contact. But I don't know how far that has progressed, if it has at all. But that would be disappointing, obviously. But I suppose it's to be expected. You know, players who have done well, and you know that we turned down a big offer then in January for Nottingham Forest. It came in at the very last minute, so we couldn't do anything. Arne was all right with it, you know. But it's difficult to stop people if their ambition is to play in a big league. West Ham have been relegated, but obviously enhanced their financial situation. Those things are difficult. Our job is to try and keep them, try and do our best to keep them. If that's not possible, then naturally we'll have to try and get replacements in. But to replace those players will be a difficult task.
What do you make of the prospect, Brian, in Burmullock, of losing one or both of those players right now?
Absolutely ridiculous, and it's an absolute farce. I'm just thinking about players like Adam Eder. For some weird reason, 1 minute Brendan Rodgers said that he's not going, and then the next he's off. The point being is up front we seem to be okay. Midfield, if we lose Engels and if we lose Johnson, it's just we've got no quality to replace them. Because like I say, we've got Donovan, and then you've got Ralston. Don't get me wrong, they're brilliant players, but they're not in the quality and the calibre of Johnston. And if they do sell him, it's going to be a case where the board said, right, well, we're going to try. But the money that you're talking about replacing Ingles and Johnston is you're looking at about 15, 20 million each player. And the board are just going to, obviously, they'll want to recoup the money that they've let him for Casper. So they'll want that back as quickly as they can. So if they can find a way of doing it, they'll do it.
David Friel, what always happens here is you've got the kind of on paper, you've got the chance to potentially, you know, double your money on Arnie Ingles sort of thing. Alistair Johnson's just perfectly within Celtic's model. They've always done it. Get kind of relatively unknown players, small fees, sell them on, fine. But to do it right now,
yeah,
when the squad already needed bodies in the eyes of the Celtic fans, and maybe when rightly or wrongly the faith in the club at being able to fulfil the void is at its lowest point in a while, is that the bit that's leading Brian to call it ridiculous?
Yeah, 100%, because if you can't get, if you're struggling to get the quality players in that you really want, and Celtic are, or have been, sorry, very active and they're trying to get it, Martin Neil said again today, but see, if you can't do that and you have to be a bit patient, then the least you can do really is hold on to your best players, for me. I think it's clear that Arnie Ingles and Alistair Johnson are both going to go in this window. I just don't really see the urgency, Gordon, and I get it. Look, players' heads
can be turned. Sorry, you think they're gone in this window, both of them?
I think both of them will go in the window. But it's the timing for me. Celtic have a Champions League playoff in 2.5 weeks. That is worth a lot of money. Right now, Celtic's squad is drastically weakened from what it was last season. So I would not, I would be ring-fencing the best players. So to me, the timing isn't right for Celtic just now, unless you can get replacements in first. So Celtic can get, for example, Micah Bauer in, then maybe it's a bit more palatable to let Arnie Ingles go. But right now, Alistair Johnson and Arnie Ingles were a huge reason for Celtic winning the league last year. They're two of their best players, two of their biggest assets. I don't understand, if you don't have replacements in, why you would let them go before the playoff.
Yeah, for me, just timing. Timing is everything. I think if you can knock back the bid, speak to the players, you talk about the Champions League game that they have coming up, which is, you look at how that panned out last year. So this year, it's a massive part of what Celtic will want to look like getting into the new season. And that'll give you a bit of time to get some work down. Can I get a fee in your head that you'd maybe take for the two of them? But see, if you can't replace Alistair Johnson with any quality, sometimes Celtic just need to be strong and say, you're not going, we need you. Ingles, for me, I think you, I would, me personally, I would take the money for him at a later stage in the transfer window, because I do think he's a sort of player that you could replace.
You also, David, sometimes you're kind of picking up the pieces from what you've done previously. Dyson made a, without ever having been involved in these negotiations, I think it's pretty safe to assume that Dyson Maeda had to be convinced to stay a few times, and then it's the next stage, you need to let him go then when the next one comes along. You heard Martin O'Neill there, £25 million for Arnie Ingles on the final day of the January window. Celtic said he had to stay. Arnie was okay with that, according to Martin O'Neill, but now he probably wants to go.
He wants to go, but you know, is it beyond the realms that Celtic can say to him, look, can you stay for another 3 weeks? Because this, it's just about timing.
Okay, but see, even beyond that though, Celtic last season showed that even now winning the Scottish Premiership can't be taken for granted. You'd be comfortable if you were Celtic fans letting Alistair Johnson and Arne Engels both leave in this window, even if it is after the Champions League playoff.
Would I be comfortable with it? Well, obviously, you're not going to get light for light, but that is Celtic's model. I just feel right now,
you can't sell everybody.
Yeah. You can't sell everybody, but if you are, I think Arne Engels, as Scott said, I think Arne Engels obviously would have gone in January. Celtic asked him to stay. He did. They knocked the money back. I think for Alistair Johnston, judging by what Martin O'Neill said today, that I think he'd be pretty keen to make the move, and you can understand that as well.
I was going to say, we were both in the room.
Yeah.
Just on a vibes basis, did you get the impression they'll both leave? It didn't sound like Martin O'Neill was saying, you know, we can't afford to let them go, or, you know, we'll do everything we can. You know, it didn't have that feeling about it, did it?
I think if the money's right that Celtic are going to get, I think they will 100% both of them go. Again, I'll say it again, it's time, and Celtic messed up in the Champions League playoff last season. They cannot afford to take that risk again. And to me, if they lose those two players before it, it's not just risky, it's reckless.
Thank you very much to Brian on the line. What about Scott on the other line? Would you be, I don't know if happy is the right word, clearly not, but would you be willing to let Alistair Johnson and Arnie Ingles go, Scott, for the right money?
I'm listening to, obviously, the fans of the club, and it's like a constant bickering around. We'll not get this player in, we'll not get that player in. How can we not get this player in? Players need to want to come to the club in the first place. We can inquire all we want on a player, but if they don't want to come, we can't force them. We're a good stepping stone. We're a selling club. As our Rangers, if they get the right players and move players on. Right now, I think we've got something like 26 full-time professionals. I'm not counting youth players in that. That's our squad just now. We're in about 26 players. We can't afford to have a massive squad. There's going to be players unhappy at training. No, they're not going to be involved. Now, Scott, you'd be able to tell better than me, but it can't be good to have a squad of players. There's six or seven of them. No, they're not going to play every week. That can't have a good atmosphere.
Well, it just depends personally and how the individual player reacts to that. I was in that situation at times at Celtic and it was really frustrating. And sometimes you feel sorry for yourself, you mope about. But I just feel with this one, Alistair Johnson, I just don't think Celtic, no matter what the price is this season, can afford to let him go. Engels, for me, different sort of story. I do think he's replaceable. I think you could get someone with a similar sort of ability if they're doing things right when they're trying to find players. They do have a scouting network, so you're expecting that it'd be players there on a list. If they were to lose them, you'd expect that being prepared from January and when the Nottingham Forest bids came in. But I still think it's Celtic, when you count potentially playing in Europe, 26 man squad compared to other clubs in the same competition isn't necessarily.
No, I was going
to
say, look, fair enough to Scott, he's crunched the numbers, David, but Celtic had a number of loanees last season who are now gone. Daizen Maeda left and then Casper Hu was signed. I don't think Celtic squad is unmanageably big right now to say that you can't make signings until you've moved bodies.
Hearts had a bigger squad than that last year.
No, I think Celtic squad's light just now. They don't have a left back to cover for Kieran Tierney. They don't have a second or first choice goalkeeper. I still think the wings need a lot of work, to be perfectly honest with you. And Frio Hatate is also, we've not spoken about him, but I think he'll also go. I think you need two or three midfielders considering Arne Engels is about to go.
Surely there is space there, Scott, when you consider those. And even, you know, midway through last season, Kasper Schmeichel was there. He's not anymore. You look at the Mvukas and Adamus of the world, the Chivanchera. You know, I know there's been a couple of strikers brought in, but there's space in that Celtic squad just now, surely. Scott. Nah, we've lost him. Scott. Sorry. Oh, I don't know what's happening. Scott, we've got you back. On you go.
I never said that we didn't need players in. All I'm saying is he's got 26 players just now. He needs to move someone. And yeah, we need cover at left back. Yes, we need a center. Yes, we probably could do another striker. And probably, yes, we do with a central midfield.
But that's what the guys are saying, though. Celtic need to get a left back in, but forget moving players on. And you need a goalkeeper before you move players. So you don't need to move players on first.
Well, we have got Liam Scales who can cover at left back. So, as an immediate threat, yeah, we definitely need a left back, but you've still got Scales there that can cover on a short term, if need be. All I'm saying is, yeah, we need players in, but it's got to be quality. We can't keep going down the road of bringing guys in that are just going to be bench warmers, and no disrespect to the guys that have been bench warmers.
I think every club though says this though, David. Every single club in the world says it. You still are obvious gaps that you just need to fill, and everybody's got their challenges.
Yeah, Celtic need to sign some players just to stand still. Gordon, I mean, Scott talks about Liam Scales. Liam Scales is suspended for the first two games of the season. Kieran Tierney, Liam Scales is sorry, he's been filling in for Kieran Tierney when he kind of goes off after 75-80 minutes. I don't know who's going to do that.
It's not sustainable.
No. So it's probably got Adam Montgomery might come back. Tony Ralston might have to move over from the right, but if Alistair Johnston goes, then Tony Ralston will be playing on the right. So I think it's a matter of urgency. Celtic need a few bodies in just to stand still.
Do you think there's in any situation where Celtic don't sell Alistair Johnston?
I just feel, as Gordon said, see from hearing Martin O'Neill today, I think it came across that Alistair Johnston would be quite keen to take up this opportunity. I'm not saying he's going to agitate. I don't think for a second he's that type of player or character. But it's Everton, it's the Premier League. The money will be huge in comparison to what he's getting paid at Celtic. And I think it'll also be a good deal for Celtic, Scott. So I'd be amazed if he stays.
Do you think Celtic reportedly are holding out for the £25 million for Arne Engels? That's what Nottingham Forest offered at the end of the window in January. Do you think West Ham will go to that? I think the record for a championship player in England is about £17 million. So Arne Engels would be by a mile the most expensive ever English championship signing.
£25 million for Ingles. I think hold her out for 25 million is a big ask for him. I know West Ham, if you just come down, they'll have the parachute payments, all the things, and they'll expect to come straight back out. But I do think 25 million for Ingles is steep.
I think that's a lot of money for him. I don't know, Forest were obviously going to pay it in January. I think they're going to pay a premium because it's the middle of the season. But I think if you're getting 20, you're probably doing well. The interesting one for me is, what's the valuation of Alistair Johnstone?
Yeah.
He's a right back, he's a bit older. What is the valuation?
Been at the World Cup and so on. Thank you, Scott. What about Mo on the other line? What's your take on all this, Mo?
Hi there, panel. Happy to speak to you tonight. It was just a kind of a point I wanted to kind of raise about the general feeling around Parkhead and the Celtic fans with regards to the sale of Arnie Ingles and Alistair Johnstone. I think a lot of the fear is probably steeped into, you know, can we find adequate replacements? You know, and then the speed in which Celtic do these deals, you know, can it be, or do we have enough or sufficient time to actually conclude those deals? Now, a competent structure within any successful club is, especially a club like Celtic, we are a selling club, that if we sell players, we've got a list of adequate replacements that can come in and hit the ground running. That is what the case, I believe, at Celtic, and I think that's probably where the fear is coming from, the majority of Celtic fans. Me personally, I would be happy to see them go, but with the caveat that, you know, we've got ready-made replacements to come in, whether that's before the qualifier or after the qualifier, that's a redundant point, but are those replacements ready to go, and are we quick enough to do those deals? And I think that's the majority where the fear is coming from the Celtic fans.
I think Mo makes some brilliant points there, David, because that is it in a nutshell. There was a time when Celtic would have almost celebrated this stuff. £11 million was a lot of money to spend on Arnie Ingles. Now he's been good. He's never been in Celtic's best player territory. He's never been outstanding. He's never been, you know, the main man, the first name in the team sheet. If you could go and get double that back for him, yeah. Alistair Johnstone, signed from the MLS, if you can go and punt him to an English Premier League club, that's the sort of thing Celtic used to celebrate. But it only works if there is any faith in your fan base, yeah, that you can find the next one to come in behind them.
Yeah, exactly. And see, it's quite strange, because I actually think Celtic have done that quite well in terms of Casper Hu and Duran as replacements for Maeda and Iheanacho. I think they've shown that they can do it. That's maybe the exception to the rule, because I think in previous years, you remember the Almaty game and the team that Celtic had to put out couldn't get a winger in. Eventually they signed two after that game, and it's almost been kind of topsy-turvy. But yeah, there isn't that faith, there isn't that trust that if Celtic do allow Ingles and Johnstone to go tomorrow, that they'd have replacements in time for the Champions League playoff. And as I say it again, it's just timing for me.
Yeah, and the reason why the Celtic fans have got that anxiety, as Mo says, is the way the transfer business has been handled over the last few years. The replacements haven't been anywhere near the level of the players that they've sold. And then you look at the January transfer window, where you were expecting a lot of big players to come in and make a real difference. None of them really did, and that's why Celtic were where they were at the end of last season, relying on Alistair Johnstone having to come back. Ingles came back and actually brought a spring in the midfield again and showed a bit of creativity. But for me, I just think Alistair Johnstone's a very difficult player to replace, especially at this moment in time. He's very dynamic, gets forward, he puts balls in the box, and most importantly, he's aggressive, really aggressive. And in that back four that Celtic have, he's probably your biggest leader. Although he's not captain it all the time, he's your biggest leader.
Thank you very much to Mo, who made some good points. Mo in Cumbernauld. Tonight's your last chance to win those tickets we've been giving away all week to Newcastle Everton at Murrayfield on the 12th of August. Clyde1.com is the place for the tickets, and you can win a child mascot appearance for your young one as well. But because it's Friday, doing something a bit different, we're giving away a hospitality package for the game. President Suite, food, drinks, relax with a complimentary bar. Two very popular words in this part of the world after the game for an hour. So stay tuned a bit later on. I'll give you the details. And stay right there, because your first set of Premiership team news is coming after these.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and David Friel of the Scottish Sun are here. It is the first night of the new Scottish League season, and we cannot wait. How are you feeling, particularly Dundee United and Rangers fans? We're We're talking Celtic transfers, and every team is involved this weekend, so let's hear from as many of you as possible. I loved it last night. We went round every team in the top flight. All 12 clubs were represented on the phone lines, and we gave it the big build up to what promises to be another dramatic season in Scottish football. Give us a call. You can send us a tweet as well. Paul Alessi's on and says, despite all the banter at Hughes predictions, I'm sure everyone wishes him well and he has a speedy recovery. SSB won't be the same without him. There we go. We've spent 48 minutes. We've finally found a well wish for old Shug. I'm only kidding. I know he's listening, and we hope to get him back in soon. Keep the calls coming. Motherwell fans, you might want to give us your thoughts on a comfortable win in Europe last night. We don't say that about Scottish clubs too often. Scott Allen, you were at Easter Road as well to see Hibs get the job done after a ropey first leg.
Yeah, and there was a lot of pressure on Davy Gray and the Hibs players last night. There was a decent crowd turned out. I think it was about 15,000-16,000. Started the game really well, as you would expect them to do after last week's performance. It was way below par. And Martin Boyle, thinking about the last game of the season, I think on the screen they announced that he was leaving, and then just before the kick-off, they announced they'd signed a one-year extension, and it was fantastic last night. Still the go-to man for Hibs in the forward areas, and the one player who I think is going to have a big season is Owen Eldon. I think we've seen flashes of him last year, but last night, if you can get him on the ball as much as you can, he looks like he's going to go and create. He caused problems all night, but the one concern was probably the last 20 minutes when Hibs went 4-0 up, and as the game was petering out, they lost all sorts of intensity. They started to sit off the game, and it was a bit anxious near the end of the game.
Here we go, the first breaking team news of the new league season from Tannadice. Andrew McLean can tell us all we need to know.
I wish I could tell you all that you need to know, but the team news actually isn't out yet.
It's on your Twitter. Refresh your Twitter feed and you'll
give
see
us your
it.
Team.
Don't you worry. It's there. I've seen it.
Let me have a look. I tell you what, bad Wi-Fi in here. That's what it is. That's what I'm going to blame.
We can just blame the
Wi-Fi.
City of
nothing,
Dundee.
Has
5G
anyway
made its way to Tayside yet?
Who knows? Oh. We'll see. Anyway, I do have the team now. It's Ivar Pander in goal for Rangers. The back four is going to be Dujon Sterling, Emmanuel Fernandez, Ben Godfrey, and Tuor Romans. It's going to be a midfield four of Cammy Devlin, Mohamed Diamandé, Tello Asgard, and J.D. Gassama, with Lauren Shankland and Ryan Nadiri up front together. So the substitutes for Rangers: Kelly McCrory, the new signing Makanya, Neil Dragojevic, Chukwani, Curtis Chermiti, and Miovsky. I'll get that Dundee United team to you shortly.
Well, there we go. It's the Derek McInnes era, another new dawn for Rangers. It's the sixth season in a row they've started a campaign with a new manager. Lawrence Shankland not only plays for Rangers, he leads them out as captain. Cammy Devlin, in fact, to without telling you what goes on in here, we're watching, I think, a review of last season on the TV, and it's Lauren Shankland and Cammy Devlin in the Maroon of Hearts. They're now starting for Rangers this evening. A number of new faces. What jumps out from the team, Scott Allen?
I think Nadiri for me. I think we're all probably would have expected to see Chermiti partner Lauren Shankland up front. And I think looking at that four in the middle, I felt he would have went with Gassama just for that natural pace. Derek McInnes likes that, and his wingers who are very direct, so it's a big night for him to provide some service for Nadiri and Lauren Shankland. And Asgard, as expected, I think he'll play off a side, he'll look to come into their pockets and try and be that creative force. But back four as expected, but quite surprised to see Nadiri start up top.
Yeah, it's a new manager and four new signings from the start tonight, David.
Yeah, Dan Neil is the one that I expected to see in the Rangers midfield. You know, come up with a really big reputation. Mm-hmm. Obviously Sunderland then did well for Ipswich, getting him up to the Premier League. Actually felt that Derek McInnes would try and get him and Cammy Devlin into the team for a game at Tannadice, so I was quite surprised at that. And as Scott said, I fully expected Shankland and Chermiti to start together up front, so an interesting combination.
01419511025 Rangers fans, if you want to give us a shout, give us your reaction to that team news, your first chance to do so of the new campaign. I suppose even Scott, it seems like so long ago now, you forget the Rangers starting a season without James Tavernier. You know, it's for so long we've been used to him in there. Dujon Sterling, I know they signed Ross McCrory during the summer, but Dujon Sterling in from the start as a new goalkeeper as well, obviously a very significant position.
Yeah, and I've liked to look of him, to be fair. I think he looks really composed, and I know that's not what everybody wants from their goalkeeper. They want him to see him making saves, but I just think having that bit of cam on the ball at the back to allow Rangers to move possession through the thirds, I think he's a good signing. Sterling for me would always have been Sterling over McCrory. I just think he's reliable, he's powerful, and most importantly he wants to defend. So no surprise there for me, but it'll be really interesting to see how this looks actually on the pitch tonight.
And what do you think tactically then, and shape wise?
4-4-2. I just think 4-4-2. I think they'll be narrow out of possession. Most teams now anyway pressing a 4-4-2 when they don't have the ball, so that kind of similar to what he's done in the pre-season games.
It's interesting. I mean, I know a lot of hype and understandably around Lauren Shanklin, but Tramite was the big money signing of last season. David, he then, as the season went on, started to show what he was capable of. Are you surprised that he doesn't start the new campaign?
Yeah, I just assumed it would be Shanklin and Tramite, and that Nadiri would just play off the plays part off the bench. And it was interesting because when Nadiri and Tramite linked up last season, Nadiri was the one that sort of kind of played off him.
Yeah, he did.
Wasn't he? So I think Lauren Shanklin likes to do that. So it'll be interesting to see how Rangers line up as well. Modi Amandi is getting a chance. He has to go and impress. I think he's a player who has a lot to offer, but
flashes, isn't it?
Yeah, it's flashes, and you know, I think he'll need to show Derek McInnes a lot more. And it was interesting as well where Derek McInnes was talking about JD Gassama the other day and talking about, again, the flashes, but he wants it consistent. You know, Derek McInnes is big in wingers. If you look at his teams from Aberdeen to Killy to Hearts, he likes playing with wingers. He actually likes playing with two. Most of the time he wants ball carriers in the team. But you need to work both ways, and you need to show far more consistency than the likes of Gassama shown.
There's such a reliance on the two, the two on the outside tonight, Gassama and Asgard, to create, because I don't really see much creation coming from centre of the park. There's a big reliance on them, and Roman's getting down to maybe support and put deliveries in the box. But there's a lot of expectation now tonight on Gassama. He's had another opportunity here under a new manager.
Right, Rangers fans, what do you make of that team? Is that one you're happy with? How do Dundee United line up, Andrew?
Yes, six summer signings are in the starting lineup for Dundee United. One of them is Jack Walton, who's in goal. It's then Joshua Rollins, Bert Esselink, Michael Forbes and Will Ferry across the back. The midfield three, Vichko Chevet, Dylan Tate and Emmanuel Agui, with Jesse Randall, Lachlan Rose and Zach Sapsford, who are the front three. The substitutes for Dundee United tonight: Amissa, Yovu, Graham, Mergam, Kamara, Eskison, Ferrugia, Benny and Mitsoko.
Right, you've got the teams. Give us all your pre-match predictions and thoughts then. We're talking Celtic's transfers as well, and the opening weekend of the league season. But one thing never changes: we can always make space for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The stakes are high as we reach Friday. It is Pundits 2, Listeners 2. The week is there to be won. 0141 951 1025 and the lines close at 7.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel and Scott Allen are here. It's 0141 951 1025, and the new league season is upon us. Can you believe it? We've just been watching scenes from the end of the last campaign, which obviously ended in the most dramatic fashion. Scotland even went to a World Cup this summer. We've had the League Cup group stages, some European qualifiers, and here we are. Who would have thought? Derek McInnes in charge of Rangers, Lauren Shanklin the captain, Cammy Devlin in the team as they head to Dundee United this evening. So get all your pre-match thoughts in, all your pre-match or pre-season predictions as well. David Freeland, Scott Allen, both going for Celtic to win the title. Both of last night's pundits went for Rangers to win the title as well. You can see all the pundits' predictions on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Loads more to get through. Any Motherwell or Hibs fans want to give us your European reaction? You can do a preview of the weekend, and we do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time, and the stakes are high because it's 2-2 for the week. 2 to the listeners, 2 to the pundits, and it will be settled this evening. James is in Dalmarnock. How are you, James?
Not bad, Gordon, yourself?
Yeah, not bad at all. Are you a Rangers fan, is that right, James?
I've got the twin that's a Celtic fan, remember?
Oh, that's right, that rings a bell. So you, we've got twins, and one's a Celtic fan, one's a Rangers fan. How did that happen again? I remember you phoning years ago. How did that happen?
It's a really boring story, to be totally honest with you. Basically, being a twin, you always get compared to your brother. And we were six, I think, and I got asked what Celtic, what football top I wanted. My twin said Celtic, and I said, well, if he's Celtic, I'll be Rangers.
That was a real commitment to that, though. Just like a lifetime of absolute tribalism, just because you didn't want the same strip as your brother when you were six. That's brilliant. I like that, James. Well, anyway, we'll maybe talk to you about your team when we get done here. But let's play Beat the Pundit first. If it's the blue side of the coin, it will be David Friel. The red side will be Scott Allen, and we will get a winner for the week. It is all poised to all, and tonight it will be David up against James. Have you ever lost at Beat the Pundit?
Do you know what, Gordon? I was on course for 100% and I lost my last game on a tiebreak, but I don't know, Scott, I don't feel match fit.
Do you think he did it deliberately in case I moved him to minus one for the new season?
Is anybody on minus one this season?
Roger and Andy.
Andy had a few defeats now.
A good way to kick Marvin in the teeth was Marvin went 100% last year. Marvin won it, but I've told him I still just don't think he's smart enough to go on to minus one, just to keep his feet in the ground. I feel like it's important. Anyway, James will take on David, so we'll give David something else in his ear. James, you've got 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer. Ready?
Yep, on the go.
Good man, James. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Did Stephen Presley make more appearances for Celtic or Rangers?
Celtic.
Who did Hearts play in their opening league game of last season?
Celtic.
How many artificial pitches are in the Premiership this season?
None.
Ali McCoist was a team captain on which TV quiz show?
Quiz on a Sport.
Who's St Johnston's captain?
Played for Rangers, Nicky Clark.
Which company sponsored the SPFL before William Hill?
No idea. It's Jason Holt, man.
He didn't sponsor the SPFL before William Hill. Let's bring back David Friel. Can you hear us?
I can.
Good, same set of questions. No pressure. The week is in the balance. Somebody do the research for me. You know we're banging on about who does what on the opening day. When was the last time the pundits lost the opening week of the season? Your time starts now. Did Stephen Presley make more appearances for Celtic or Rangers?
Celtic.
Who did Hearts play in their opening league game of last season?
Aberdeen.
How many artificial pitches are in the Premiership this season?
One.
Ali McCoist was a team captain on which TV quiz show? Who is St Johnston's captain?
Jason Holt.
Which company sponsored the SPFL before William Hill?
Bank of Scotland.
Scotland women's captain Caroline Weir plays for which French club?
Lyon.
Okay, what do you think, James?
Don't haunt me. Nicky Clark, man. It's Jason Holt all day.
I know. He just kept shouting Jason Holt long after the time was up.
Who said Nicky Clark?
James did. But then he corrected himself.
Queen of South.
Who did Queen of the South play in their opening League One fixture?
They play the Kilby tomorrow.
I noticed in your pre-season predictions you've gone East Kilbride to win the league. Bit of faith in your own.
I have to go for
it. You couldn't exactly tip anybody else, could you? Right, let's go through them. Stephen Presley, you both said he played more for Celtic. It was actually Rangers. Quite surprised that I would have definitely gone Celtic. Not even that close. 39-23.
Surprised.
Very surprised. But anyway, there we go. Who did Hearts play in their opening league game of last season? It was Aberdeen. A 2-0 win at Tynecastle Monday the 4th of August. They went on that long,
it was windy that night, wasn't
it? Beaten run at the start of the season. So it's 1-0 David Friel. The Falkirk pitch is the only artificial surface. I was down at Kilmarnock seeing the new grass sprouting 2 days ago. It was looking good. I was honestly trying to get the grounds from down to my back garden just to fill in some of the bald spots, because what a job they've done.
I think Neil McCann looks very excited about it as well.
Did you see that?
Yeah, really excited.
See, before we even started the interview, he was telling me all about the root structure and how strong it was going to be. I was well invested. I found myself like some sort of pitch expert afterwards. Ali McCoist was on Question of Sport. James, you got that, but so did David, and he stays two in front. You don't need me to tell you, James. Jason Holt is the St Johnston captain, not Nicky Clark. So David Friel goes 4-1 in front. It then became 5-1 because it was Cinch. You said that, didn't
no,
you?
No, I didn't. All right. I can't believe I forgot about it.
Never mind.
I can't believe I forgot about Ireland.
Exactly.
You've been cinched.
Exactly. I'll take that off you, but you're still ahead. I don't know why I had given you that. Caroline Weir does play for Lyon, having transferred over the summer from Real Madrid. James, you got one on the board. David Friel scooshed it, and I'm afraid it is hard lines from us. That's going to haunt you tonight. You're going to go to bed thinking about Jason Holt. I don't know how that makes you feel.
At least I didn't get
grannied.
It's fine.
Exactly. Set the bar pretty low. Right, talk to me about your team then. What are you thinking about this lineup tonight and how the season's going to start?
I take 1-0 now. But I'm surprised to see Diomande, to be totally honest with you. I like him, but I don't think he's probably had a fair crack at the butt by the last two managers. For, I don't know, whatever reason, but he seems to do all right any time he plays. But so glad that he's playing. I think Devlin will be good. But I'm not feeling the worst, but I just don't know. I just don't know what I expect. McInnes's teams usually like to get the ball wider into the box, and we don't really have wingers to do that. So, it'll be fun.
Generally speaking, I mean, who's going to be, who's got the bragging rights at the end of the season? You or your twin?
That's not...
right, that noise tells me you're not that confident.
No, I'm never. I'm to be totally honest with you, but it's you get so close and it falls away every year, so you just kind of, what is it you said years ago? It's the hope that kills you. So, aye.
Yeah, it doesn't. James doesn't strike me as an overly optimistic man, but you two have gone for Celtic. Give me a bit more of your thinking in case anyone's just joining us or not seen the pre-season predictions are in from all the pundits. It's a bit of a split actually, but you two have gone Celtic.
Yeah, for me it's two things. The consistency they've shown under Martin O'Neill domestically. Yes, Celtic are going to lose players, but I think they've strengthened at the top end of the pitch. I think they're going to strengthen in other areas. They've still got a lot of work to do, but I just feel domestically Celtic will be too strong still.
Yeah, it's similar. The kind of run they went on under Martin O'Neill last year, the way they kind of, when they were into the split, they managed to get through the games, and there was a lot of pressure on them. I don't think anybody tipped them to win all the games in the split, and they came through it and ended up at league champions. And I just looked across the other side of Glasgow at Rangers, and I just think, yes, there's been a lot of signings, but I just think the wide areas, and I know transfer players will come in before the end of the window, but I just feel that's an area where Rangers have to get them right, because with Shankland, and it's going to be in the day tonight, and the potential shape that they're going to play, they're going to have so much reliance on the creativity come for the wide areas.
Would you change your prediction if Arnott Engels and Alistair Johnson left Celtic?
It would depend on who comes in.
You honestly,
not a Fingers,
wriggling your way out of
it. I sound like I'm not a big fan.
What about
of
Alistair
Fingers
Johnson?
Yeah, I think he's hard to replace. I really do.
James, I mean, it's been quite the summer watching Derek McInnes come and Shankland and Devlin and so on. Talk to us a bit about the manager. This is the sixth season in a row. Rangers have started a new season with a different guy in the dugout. It's just been an incredible run. Confident that next season it will still be Derek McInnes, and the season after that, and so on?
Ideally. I mean, to go back, what would it be this time last year? I was actually quite happy with Martin McInnes because I thought he could do well. Then, obviously, it was tragic. Then I wasn't sure on Danny Rowe, he did all right. And then I wasn't keen on Derek McInnes, and now he's here. So maybe it's just me that's got a honking opinion of these people. So, so as I say, it's. Hopefully I'm wrong and we'll be alright, but I'm quite happy actually, because it's, you know, somebody that gets a club and all that kind of stuff, I'm not a big on that, you just want a team to win football matches, but I think his teams, his Kelly and Hart's team, were hard working at least, and I think that's where Rangers struggled at points last season. They seem to be playing as individuals, so if we can get them pulling together, then it should be hopefully alright.
And we're going to get the sight of Lawrence Shankland leading the team out. What do you make of that decision?
I think I was actually talking to a guy about this a month ago. I think the people Rangers have signed this summer, and then I think even Dujon Stelling had a shot at the captain same pre-season, so I think there's options there, but it could have been any of them. I didn't have a preference. Obviously Shankland's Scottish, he's a Glasgow guy, I grew up a Rangers fan, so I think that probably goes in his favour. But ultimately, if he puts the ball in the back of the net, or whoever does it, I don't care who's got the armband on, as long as they win.
A big moment for him leading the team out tonight, Scott. You know, even his career trajectory is quite something when you think about Queen's Park and Aberdeen and having to take some serious backward steps. But that's no disrespect to the clubs he went to. But you know what I mean, to sort of end up Rangers captain coming off the back of starting for Scotland against Brazil at a World Cup and stuff. It's been, what a period.
It really has been. I remember it was my first game for Hibs, and I wasn't match fit. So it was when I first went with Stubbs, and he asked me to play in an under-20s game against Aberdeen. Shankland played in the game, and I remember that night, after going, he's some player. And then a couple of years later, I followed his career. He'd ended up at Ayr United for one reason or another, and since then, just knows where the goal is. And it's very hard to find in this day and age a striker who's consistently get variety of finishes. He's got that, and what he has got is a great experience. Last year, he led, obviously, Hearts all season as captain and came so close. And then things, obviously, that James talks about there is the fact that he's a Rangers fan from Glasgow, so he knows how much it means.
Any surprise to see Chirmiti not starting, James?
A wee bit. I was actually surprised that Shankland's, well, I don't even know where Shankland's best position is, but he's playing behind. I don't know if he played behind the striker at Hearts. But it'd be interesting to see how it goes. I like Nadiri. He seems to probably run a bit more than Chirmiti for me. So there's probably somebody with stats out there that proves that to be an absolute honking opinion as well. But, certainly the eye test, I think Chirmiti probably runs a bit less than Nadiri, so aye.
James, usually in this show everybody thinks they're right about everything, everybody thinks their opinions are brilliant on everything, so it's I don't want you being too hard on yourself.
The problem with Chirmiti last year was the fact that he wasn't in the box enough. He kept running out of the box.
Honking opinion, James. There you go. Rubbish, James. Honestly, clueless. Only kidding, James. It was a pleasure to have you on Hard Lines and Beat the Pundit.
Thanks, James.
I didn't go very well either. It was nice to speak to James on the line. One of the twins with the differing opinions on football in Glasgow, but that's all good. We are building up to kick off at Tannadice. Keep your thoughts coming. Motherwell and Hibs fans wouldn't mind looking back on your European exploits. And it's the first weekend of the season, so let's preview as many games as we can. Away from the actual action this week, the biggest story today certainly was about Arne Engels and Alistair Johnson. Let's bring in Gary on the line and see how he feels about it. Gary?
Good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Stuart and Scott. Hope you're all well.
Good, thanks.
Happy new season. In terms of Engels, I think you mentioned earlier on, Gordon, he's never going to be the first name in the team sheet. So if you can double your money and get somewhere between 20 to 25 million for Engels, I think the Celtic fans would see that as really good business, and hoping there's some work in the background just now to get somebody to replace him. But that's Engels. Johnston was it kind of in the region of 10 million for Everton? Is that the number?
I'm actually not sure about this, David, because Martin O'Neill said he wasn't sure if that had reached like official bid stage yet. I think Ingles has.
Yeah, he said that Celtic have rejected a bid for Ingles. With Alistair Johnson, he said that Everton had almost indicated that they would be coming in with an official offer. David Moyes had phoned him personally. We were actually talking about that, Gary. What is his valuation? What should Celtic be asking for him if they are going to sell him? Because I don't think, to me, 10 million wouldn't be anywhere near cutting it.
That's what I was going to say. I've seen 10 million kind of banded about in social media today, and so that's what I was going with. Now, if you think that Kieran Tierney left Celtic how many years ago, maybe about 8 years ago, maybe 9 years ago, to go to Arsenal for 25 million, so in today's money, probably about £30 million in today's money, there's no way Kieran Tierney's a three times a better player than Alistair Johnson. But there's also no way that Everton would have sold an ageing Seamus Coleman, who they're looking for him to replace. They may have sold him for any less than 20 to 30 million themselves about 3 or 4 years ago. So they can start the bidding well above 20 million for Alistair Johnson, in my opinion.
I suppose the only difference between Tierney, well, not the only, but the objective difference between Tierney and Johnson would be the age, though. Johnson's about to turn 28. You know, you talk about sell on value and so on. Now, it turned out that Arsenal obviously famously didn't sell Kieran Tierney, you know, when he came back, but they got him as a relatively young man who'd come through the academy. I'm not saying 10 million's okay either, but I just don't know if it's as simple as you get the 25 for him.
No, but I think you understand the importance of him in this Celtic team. I think 10 million would be really short for a guy Alistair Johnson's quality. I really do.
Overall, Gary, we kind of spoke about this a little bit earlier. All of this seems to depend on your confidence or not that they can be replaced. Because if you get good money for players, they leave. Celtic have done that for years. But it feels like what's changed is that Celtic fans don't think adequate replacements will come in, and therefore you don't want to see Endy leave. Is that the way you see it?
Well, you would hope that after the bid from Nottingham Forest at the end of the January window, you would hope that Celtic would prepare themselves for Engels leaving in this window. So that means they've had 6 months up until now to kind of get into the kind of looking, scouting about Europe, elsewhere, anywhere in the world for somebody to replace Engels. But you're right, I don't think the fans have got enough confidence in this board and the structure within the club that there's a list of names just ready to snap up should these top players go. Sorry, one thing I would say to you, Gordon, you mentioned there about the age of Alistair Johnson, sorry to hop back to this. Mm-hmm. Virgil van Dijk went to Southampton for 12 million or so for Celtic. He had a really good season at Southampton first season, and they sold him the next season for 75 million to Liverpool. So just because Johnson's 28, it means he could have a really good season one good season, and we snapped up with one of the bigger clubs for a big fee as well. So there is a potential sell-on fee there for Everton. Anyway, sorry, I digressed. I just had to address that point.
No, I just mean generally speaking, it's not. This is not limited to Celtic. Clubs buy potential; they just do. I'm not saying you can't get a good fee for a 28-year-old, but you're far more likely to get that fee for a 22-year-old. It's just the way it is.
And it can be frustrating as well for Scottish clubs because they see the money sloshing about in England for. Let's be honest, buying average players are getting bought for tens of millions of pounds.
The sub-goalie, Trafford.
Yeah, exactly.
I couldn't believe that, though.
But there's a premium down there, and...
Sorry, just quickly, my favourite one. Have you seen the Elliot Anderson one today?
No.
He's worth more than Argos. So Argos as a company is getting sold off for the same price as Elliot Anderson. Anyway.
That's what I'm saying. So there is that frustration where you see some of the prices down there, it's English club to English club, and it's a lot higher. I actually think that Scottish clubs in recent times have kind of maybe addressed that a little bit. I think they're getting better value.
A bit more,
yeah, and I think every right to do that. You saw Hibs get a really good fee for Kieran Bowie, Motherwell from a Championship club, getting the fee for Elijah Just, which was incredible business, over £5 million. So I agree with you, Gary. £10 million just would not cut it at all. I think you'd be struggling to go and get over 20 for him, but I think you would be looking high teens.
Thank you very much to Gary on the line. Keep your thoughts coming on the transfer business, no matter what club you support. And we'll continue the build-up to the game at Tannadice as the new season fast approaches. More calls when we return.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
David Friel of the Scottish Sun is alongside Scott Allen. The league starts tonight. How exciting is this? Dundee United against the Rangers, kicking it all off. Then strap yourselves in for 10 months of drama and controversy, because those are guaranteed in Scottish football. I've got a nice question to get you up and running, you two, for the new season.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
I have no idea how anyone has the memory to produce answers to these types of questions. So good luck to you. Hugh Simington wants you to name the last six players to score Rangers' opening league goal of a season. I would be absolutely hopeless at that. Last six players to score Rangers' opening league goal of the season.
Tavernier.
Always a fairly safe bet. He did it at Fir Park last season, but it ended in a 1-1 draw.
Ryan Kent at Pittodrie.
Yes, well done. That was 2020. Well, there you go. Making light work of what I thought was a tough question. One more guess.
Yeah, they don't count twice, if that makes sense, do they? Because Tavernier scored against Livingston. Try to think here.
Okay, we'll leave it there. You've got two already. Thank you to Hugh and Symington for sending the question in to fulltime@clyde1.com. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. We've got a Motherwell fan on the line. It's Stephen. Stephen, how's this for a 24-hour spell? You have progressed in Europe. You've had planning permission for a new training ground, which is the Jens Bertolascu legacy, I guess, for all the millions you've raked in. And you've signed a new player in the last 10 minutes. Jamie Knight Lebel has joined from Bristol City on loan. So, exciting times.
Yeah, they were exciting. And let's not forget that last night we were playing against a side who lost at home in Europe in 10 years. So, brilliant. I mean, I know that we've lost the amount of players, but we've also raked in record transfer fee again after Lennon Miller going for the record transfer fee last year with Elijah Just going to Swansea. I think what's impressed me most is, despite the amount of players that we have out injured, and despite the amount of players that we've sold, the team looked as if they picked up from where they left off. I thought there was some passages of play last night that were really good. If anything, if you're looking for small differences between what Alfred is looking to do and what Jens did, we look as if we want to hurt teams quicker. We look as if we're wanting to get in behind a bit quicker, and that's not to say that we're going long, but we just to be playing that purposeful pass, if you like, sooner. So listen, it's been really good and I'm really excited for the season ahead. The club's in a great place.
Yeah, it was important last night. You can obviously look at it both ways. Stephen's right, Tershaven did have a really good home record. At the same time, let's not overinflate a Faroese opposition. Motherwell should beat them. But then again, Scottish teams make a mess of these all the time, routinely make a mess of them. And particularly, as Stephen says, the list of players that have left and the ones that are injured is unbelievable. Yeah. Callum Ward in goal, Paul McGinn injured, Stephen O'Donnell injured, Stephen Welsh gone, Manuel Longuello only fit enough to be amongst the subs. So that's the goalie in the entire back four from last season. Elliot Watt gone, Callum Slattery gone, Elijah Just gone. It's like they're all away or injured at the moment. So to come through that was really important.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the game last night and...
Sorry, Maswanisi injured.
Maswanisi injured as well. And yeah, the team looks unrecognisable. And HB aren't the greatest team in the world, but Stephen's right, they have a really good home record. I think the pitch looked a bit difficult, but Motherwell, after the first 5 minutes, I think obviously HB are trying to kind of go physical, go long, all that sort of stuff. I thought Motherwell really settled well. I thought Priestman and Lucas Fadinger in the middle of the park were really, really good. Saeed as well. And they started creating chances. I mean, Regan Charles Cook on another day could have scored 4 or 5 goals. He had a lot of chances. Took his goal finally, and that sort of completely killed the tie after the penalty. And then a great strike from Dylan Williams. I was really impressed with Motherwell last night. I think that could have been a tricky tie. And I think we're so quick to jump on Scottish teams at a stage of the season for bad European results. Gordon, talk about the coefficient and talk about what can we do better. So I think for any club to score 5 without reply over 2 legs at this stage of the season, with all the changes that you've listed, I think deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah, and it just looks like this manager's came in and he's kept a lot of the same things that Jens had built. I don't know if that helps. The assistant manager that Jens had still,
yeah,
does,
Max Rogers. Yeah.
So that obviously does play a part. So he's not came in and made wholesale changes to how they play. There's still a bit of clarity there. I think Steve makes a great point. There was a lot more purposeful passing, but at the same time, I think in these situations you've got to take into account the opposition. The times that last year when they had to make the extra pass was because you were playing against teams with better quality players. But really excited for if you're a Motherwell fan again. I think that game against Hibs Sunday could be a cracker.
I mean, Stephen, I know at this time of year everyone wants to talk about new signings, and it's not necessarily exciting on the outside when you're talking about a new training ground, but that's kind of like, that's bigger than any new signing. You know, that's kind of club transformational stuff, isn't it? That's the bit that really helps you improve your infrastructure. Motherwell are not going to go and spend millions of pounds on players, but if you can start putting proper building blocks in place for the club, that's when, you know, you're really kind of making the money count.
I'm going to go even further and say that I'm 32. It's the biggest news that the club have ever come out with in my lifetime, I think, because to the heart of our club ethos is our youth development. All the likes of David Turnbull for the record fee, Lennon Miller, but also what it does allows us to say to players that want to come and sign for this. Yep. Now we've got our own training facility, we've got our own space that you can come and train every day, and that's better for getting players in as well. So I think what we're doing is we're getting not right off the pitch, just reflecting on what you're seeing off the pitch, but it's a huge step for a club like Motherwell to have their own training facility.
To be fair, David, Brian Caldwell can phone in and let us know if any of this is wrong, but it's the planning permission tonight that's been granted. This was in place on the back of the kind of Lennon Miller fee. You know, that since then, Elijah Just, Elliot Watt, Callum Ward, those fees, you know, then kind of go on top of that sort of thing.
Yeah, but I just think Motherwell are a club with a plan. Gordon, you know, they have the fan ownership, they have an ambitious board, they've got Brian Caldwell, who Excellent. Is a very, very good chief executive, knows his way around the game, good businessman as well. They have done unbelievable transfer window business this summer. I know that you don't want to lose all the stars, Stephen, but, you know, when the money's coming in and it's being reinvested in the right way, I think Motherwell are so stable just now. It's a bright future. As you say, they'll go down the youth route again. I thought Young Booth was really good last night as well. So, yeah, they've got a plan. They've got a long-term vision. And right now, it must be a great time to be a Motherwell fan.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you wonder though, Stephen, on the pitch, last season was so, so good. Is it going to be tough to replicate that?
Of course it's going to be tough, but I think you should always get as close to that as possible. People have been asking me what I'm hoping for this season. I think it has to be the same every season for the Motherwell fan. Is your main hope is can you get into that top six and get a cup run? Then change your expectations depending on how things are looking there. What's impressed me is how the new signing.
Oh, Stephen's line's broken up a little bit. Scott, you watched Hibs last night and those teams play each other at the weekend. How important was last night for Hibs not only to get through, because that's kind of obviously what you're trying to do, but to sort of rescue the PR heading into a new season. What on earth would the opening league fixture have looked like for David Gray if he'd gone out to a team from Kosovo a couple of nights previously?
That's if he would have made it to the opening day of the season. There was a lot of pressure on David last night. There's no getting away from that. And listen, I think they can accept that the performance away in Kosovo was nowhere near the standards. But I did feel if Hibs were to score the first goal, then they would run out comfortable winners, and it could have been far more comfortable than it was in the last 20 minutes. I touched on that earlier. When they did make the changes, the drop-off in performance was quite significant, and I think that's something that Hibs will need to address going into this new season. When you do lose a few players, what's coming on, is it replacing with the same amount of quality, the same amount of energy? Last night, that was the one thing coming away from the game, and I looked at Hibs and going, that needs fixed. Because Malibu, there was times where Malasheva did play through Hibs quite comfortably. If you do that with a lack of energy against this Malibu team, and I know it's not Jens, and I know it's a different group of players, but they'll still create a lot more chances than Malasheva did.
I just think David Gray needs a really strong start to the season, Gordon, and it's not easy juggling the qualifiers with league games as well, but I agree with Scott, I'm not sure he would have been the Hibs manager today if that had gone wrong last night. They did get through it. Again, give Hibs credit, because they get so much criticism from their own fans and everybody else for the first leg performance, but I think Hibs fans are looking for a bit more. I think they're looking for just a spark from their team. I think it's been pretty stable and consistent, but they want more. They want to be going challenging like Hearts have done. Obviously Hearts have got the investment in, but I just think David Gray needs a really strong start to the season, otherwise the pressure will be on him.
I think you were breaking up a bit, Stephen. Were you discussing the new signings? I think you said you were impressed.
Yeah, I think the new signings have looked really good. I think the two centre-backs, Martin Mormon and Jake Gilbert-Wright, have looked great. I think Alex Poulsen's shown he's great with his feet as well, which is obviously for us, because Callum Ward was huge in how we played last season. Of course it's going to be difficult, especially when you've got Aberdeen looking stronger. I think Kilmarnock have recruited really well, but confident that we can have another good season. But I think the aim is to always start right. Let's hope for top six and a cup run, and then change, want to go for there.
Will you get a result in your first fixture away at Easter Road on Sunday?
I think so. I think that the team have shown they are capable of playing the same style. They've shown that they can hurt. I know it's HP, but even against Hank and the friendly, we look good at points as well. So I'm really confident going to Easter Road that we can go and get a result. But it's all about taking it one game at a time. You heard Alfred in his post-match press conference last night. He just said, Hibs, Hibs, Hibs. That's the only focus. And then we will forward to HGK after that.
Good man. Thank you very much to Stephen, a Motherwell fan on the line. Happy with last night's victory in Europe. They've made a new signing there, as we mentioned. They've got planning permission for the new training ground. It's all heading in a positive direction. Losing Sunday and everybody will phone in and moan about it. That's just the way football goes. So, but we are excited, very much excited for the new season. Good to see many of you sharing that on social media as well. I actually love this. I had a clip sent in to me on Instagram. And do you know what? I'll just play it. Just let it speak for itself. There's a very talented pianist out there who sent a wee clip in. Listen to this. Recognise it, Scott Allen? That's got the goosebumps for me going. That's right up my street, that. Scottish football, super scoreboard, hand in hand. Kieran McBrearty has sat down. I know Killian Sheridan's a keen pianist.
I was just about to say
that. I think
that.
That's the level he has to aspire to. Kieran's a kind of wedding and events pianist, and he's, you can CM Legato piano if you want to walk down the aisle to the super scoreboard theme tune. But there we go. Kieran sat down and sent that to get us in the mood for the new season. How are you two faring on this teaser? We're looking for the last six players to score Rangers' opening league goal of the season. You've got Tavernier and Kent so far.
Joe Aribo?
No.
Morelos?
No.
Barisic?
Nope.
Conor Goldson.
Oh, it's all going downhill. One more guess from you, Scott Allen.
See these type of things.
Very difficult.
Picking players from, it's the hardest thing at the moment. Balogun.
No. Thank you to Hugh and Symington for the question, by the way. Full time at Clyde1.com. Please keep the questions coming in. Thanks to the sponsors, Arcoplan Glasgow, as well. We need loads of teasers throughout the season, so get your thinking caps on. Right, we've got a competition for you. Remember, I spoke to you earlier on. We've been giving tickets to Newcastle, Everton, Murrayfield away. all week. It's the 12th of August. You can still get them at Clyde1.com, and you can win a child mascot appearance for your young one as well. But since it's Friday, we've upped the ante a bit. There's a hospitality package for the game. You get into the President's Suite, food and drinks, and then after the game, a complimentary bar for an hour. And all you have to do is solve a bit of a who am I? Oh, this is tough. We usually do this on a Saturday. Over to you, David Friel. You're going to read this out for us?
I'll read it out.
Go on, give us the clues.
In Hugh Keevan's fashion here. Question is, I have played alongside James McFadden, Christian Daly and Tom Boyd. I have been managed by Jim McLean, Bobby Robson and Walter Smith. I have won the top flight as a player during my time in Scotland, as well as the FA Cup in England with one of the teams playing in the friendly.
Jeez, who am I? Go for that again. Newcastle Everton's the game. Go on.
You want me to go right through it again?
Yeah, I think so. Hear it one more.
I have played alongside James McFadden, Christian Daly and Tom Boyd. I have been managed by Jim McLean, Bobby Robson and Walter Smith. I have won the top flight as a player during my time in Scotland, as well as the FA Cup in England with one of the teams playing in the friendly.
Wow. 01419511025. We need to get the answer by the end of this break. That's pretty tough. Let's see if we can do it. Speak to you soon.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just over 15 minutes away from kickoff on the opening fixture of the new season, Dundee United against Rangers. The anticipation is building. How are you all feeling? Get your predictions in. You can react to the pundits' season predictions. They're all over there on Twitter at Clyde SSB. So please let us know who's talking rubbish and who has got the right idea. We're going to try and give away some tickets as well at the moment. Newcastle Everton, one of these glamour friendlies at Murrayfield on the 12th of August. The lines are now closed, so thank you for trying to take part. Just a quick reminder, the entrant does need to be over 18. You can take someone younger with you. The T's and C's are at Clyde1.com as well. Now on the line to play, we've got Phil, just along the road in Clydebank. How are you, Phil?
Hi, I'm fine.
Right, Phil, we've got quite a tough task for you. I'm impressed that anyone managed to come up with an answer in the small time we allowed in the break. So the question was, I've played alongside James McFadden, Christian Daly and Tom Boyd, managed by Jim McLean, Bobby Robson and Walter Smith, won the top flight as a player in Scotland, the FA Cup in England, with one of the teams in the friendly. What's the answer?
Duncan Ferguson.
It is Duncan Ferguson. A nice easy clue would have been I was one of the standout pundits at the World Cup over the summer as well. So there we go. Well done to you, Phil. Not only you go into the game at Murrayfield, there's a nice wee bit of hospitality thrown in there as well. Happy with that?
Yeah, it's fine, lovely.
Good stuff. Who's your team, Phil?
Oh, Celtic, of course.
What are you thinking for this season?
I just go with the flow. We've been winning trophies by the barrel over the years, so it's not really mattering what goes on behind the scenes.
Happy to sell off Alistair Johnston, Arne Engels in?
I'm sure they'll have replacements ready for them.
I just love Phil's philosophy in life. Just go with the flow.
I think a lot of fellow Celtic fans are shouting at the radio going, but they've no had replacements lined up in the last few windows. Phil's an optimist, and it's served him well because he's called in,
won the competition, and he's chilled out about the whole thing.
Well done to you, Phil. There we go. Duncan Ferguson, the answer. Phil is off to hospitality. It is interesting that, because I am aware those Celtic fans exist who say, look at all the trophies. This is going to be the 14th time in the last 15 years that the first weekend of the season will get the flag unfurled at Celtic Park, because they always win it the season before. So for some people, David, that is the bottom line. For a lot of our callers and a lot of people on social media and a lot of people you meet, they are more concerned that there won't be replacements lined up in time, or adequate replacements for Johnston and Engels if they go.
Yeah, and that's because of the body of evidence in recent years, Gordon. But I do think the temperature has cooled slightly after Casper Hu was signed. I think for Celtic to go and spend over £11 million on a guy that I think most Celtic fans wanted him to sign, they saw him in the Champions League with Bodo last year. I think without that signing, I would be interested to see the crowd on Monday night. I think with him on board, with Duran scoring goals, I think you'll get a packed house.
We're going to go back to Tannadice, of course, before kick-off, 8 o'clock it is. Let's work our way through the other fixtures. Only 1-3 o'clock on the first Saturday. They're all on telly, but even that one is as well. It's just you're allowed at the moment to do the 3 o'clock Saturday on TV. Falkirk, St Mirren. Second album syndrome for Falkirk, perhaps. How do you go again? And as for St Mirren, League Cup winners, nearly relegated. Craig McLeish has stayed. How do you feel about that fixture?
I think
I think I would go with Falkirk, just on the basis of seeing bits of both teams. I don't think any of them are where they want to be this early in the season. I think with John McGlynn, what you know is you can trust he's going to have a way of playing. He's going to come up with something where he feels he can go and take the game to St Mirren. So I would put them as slight favourites. St Mirren, obviously, we came up against them with East Kilbride a few weeks back now, and they've got some good players. I like Carr in the middle of the park. I think he'll make a real difference.
It didn't look great when they were 3-0 down to you, but they recovered in the end.
At half time.
He changed the game.
They showed a lot of energy, yeah. Obviously, because they were chasing the ball for large spells. And then they've obviously brought in Paul and Sale from Rangers as well, who's a young player who would like to go and make an impact. But I just think Falkirk will probably just be slightly ahead of St Mirren at this moment in time.
Yeah, I'm doing the game tomorrow, Gordon, looking forward to it. I watched Falkirk a lot last year, spoke about how much I think everybody admired the way John McGlynn played. He's lost Barney Stewart, the success story of the season, a fairy tale rise, Calvin Miller, Dylan Tate's playing for United, so it'll be very much a different team. As you said, the second album syndrome, can they go again? Do you think John McGlynn's a What's the Story Morning Glory man?
I like it, I like the reference.
We'll see. And Craig McLeish, young manager, obviously two managers in dugouts at opposite ends of the spectrum, and we'll see how that goes. I'm just hoping Sean Murdoch's not the referee for the game.
Yeah, we don't need any of that controversy.
He'll probably end up doing my game tomorrow.
On the first weekend, we mentioned on Beat the Pundit, Hearts played Aberdeen on the opening game last season. It's Aberdeen-Hearts. Okay. Again, no reminder required of what Hearts have been through recently. Even for Aberdeen, it's a new era. It's the Stephen Robinson era. There's a bit of familiarity there about players that have been in the league before. It's a departure from what they've tried, because what they've been trying hasn't been working. So that's a great fixture to kick us off there tomorrow.
A great fixture, two complete different styles of football, which we've seen under the new Hearts manager. But what will I would think in that game, I think Aberdeen will look at Hearts over the last two games and how they've looked from set pieces and even long throws. Not they'll feel that there's a way where they can physically impose themselves on the game. So I would put Aberdeen as favourites for that one.
And as we mentioned, sorry, Sunday, St Johnstone Killy, Hibs Motherwell, and on to Flag Night, Celtic Dundee on Monday. Right, you two told us earlier you had Celtic to win the league. Give us your top three in order.
Top three will be Celtic, Rangers and Hearts.
Celtic, Rangers and Hibs. And the reason why I pick Hibs, it's not because of that. It's because out of this side, so Aberdeen, there's change. Hearts, there's change. Motherwell, there's change. Hibs actually have the most continuity in their squad. So
who else is making the top six?
Well, I think Aberdeen will finish above Hibs. I think Aberdeen will be good. I think Stephen Robinson has gone about things really sensibly.
A good watch?
Will they be a good watch? Well, to be fair, I think they've signed Tony Yagan, Lewis Smith, yeah. Kevin Nisbet scoring goals. I like Conor Ronan. I just think that Aberdeen, I can't really get my head around what they've been trying to be in recent years. You know, I think they've been aiming for something that wasn't there. I think what Stephen Robinson will do, he signed well, he'll make Pittodrie a really tough place to go against.
There's two spots left in your top six.
I will go for Hibs and Motherwell.
Yeah, I would go the same. I would go the same with that six.
So Motherwell and Aberdeen coming into it for you. Yeah. Right, relegation playoff.
St Johnstone.
St Mirren.
Straight down.
Johnson.
Other way around.
Yeah. Other way around.
So the two Saints are getting it in the neck from you two. Okay, tough school out there. Anyway, you can get the full list of pundit predictions on there on the Twitter at Clyde SSB. Championship winner?
Partick Thistle.
Partick. Just
Mark Wilson and Alex Ray and Tony Watt.
They came close last year. I think getting Ben Stanway back is huge for them. They had a good thing going. I think it'll be too strong for everybody.
Anything else to note? Cup winners or anything? You've not got Celtic down as a treble or anything? No. You got the.
No, I think Rangers will win. I think Rangers will win a trophy. I think Dennett McInnes will get some silverware for Rangers, and I think that'll be a solid enough start for him.
Well, he's going to have to start the league campaign tonight at Tannadice, so let's go back there and speak to Andrew McLean as we build up to kick off.
Yeah, it is the start of the Dennett McInnes era at Rangers. They're about to get it underway here at Tannadice, where, of course, he spent 3 years as a player. Many people thought it was probably inevitable that at some point in his career he would become Rangers manager. It looked unlikely that it would be this summer after Danny Rowe was given backing by the club just a couple of months ago, but after his departure, there was only one man Rangers wanted. Since then, 8 signings through the door, 4 of them start tonight, and 2 of them in Lauren Shankland and Cammy Devlin followed him from Hearts. It was was real disappointment for that trio at the end of last season on the final day, and also real disappointment for the Rangers players who could only muster up a third place finish. So tonight, what will the signs be of what they can achieve and what they are capable of this season? As for the home side, Dundee United, they've had four competitive games already, three wins and a defeat in the Premier Sports Cup group stages. They finished top of their group. They'll take on Celtic in the next round. Six of their eight new summer signings start tonight. One of them is Jack Walton in goal. In the back four, Joshua Rollins, Bert Esselink, Michael Forbes and Will Ferry. Across the middle, it's Vichko Cheve, Dylan Tate and Emmanuel Agi, with Jesse Randall, Lachlan Rose and Zach Sapsford the front three. The substitutes, Amissa, Yovu, Graham, Mergam, Kamara, Eskison, Faruja, Benny and Mitsoko. As for Rangers, it's Ivar Pander, one of the new signings in goal, is in a back four of Dujon Sterling, Emmanuel Fernandez, Ben Godfrey and Tuur Romans across the midfield. It looks as if it's going to be a 4-4-2. It'll be Jadon Gassama and Tello Asgard in the wide areas, Mohamed Diamandé and Cammy Devlin, the two central midfielders. Lauren Shanklin, the captain, up top alongside Ryan Nadiri, who gets the nod ahead of Yusuf Chermiti. The substitutes, Kelly McCrory, Makanya, who came in, the central defender from Philadelphia Union just a couple of days ago. Dragijevic could also make his debut tonight, along with Dan Neal, who's on the bench. Also Chukwani, Curtis, Chermiti and Miowski. The referee is Nick Walsh. The VAR is Stephen McLean. The sunshine is back out at Tannadice. It's shining over onto the stand on my right, where the Dundee United fans have their flags out. Over to my left, the Rangers supporters are filling out the Norman Jameson stand. Really good conditions for the game tonight. Looking forward to the season kicking off in just 7 minutes' time.
Thank you very much to Andrew McLean. I'm asking a lot of you to predict what's going to happen in May. Can you predict what will happen by 10 o'clock?
I think Rangers have enough to get over the line. No?
Yeah, just.
Right, okay, let's see the teaser then. You've been struggling on that. So much confidence in your predictions, but not much confidence in these answers. We're looking for the last six players to score the opening league goal of a season for Rangers. You've got Tavernier and Kent.
He's always answered one of these questions, Kenny Miller.
No, more recently. So Rangers played Motherwell a couple of times, I think. There was one there. They've played
Thorins.
Three of them are against Livy. No, three are against Livy as well.
Scott Arfield.
Yep, that was Livingston. Oh, the silence. What about who's been the top goal scorer for Rangers in the last couple of seasons? Like the different top Dessers. Goal scorers. Yep, Cyril Dessers.
Is there another Rangers one in there? Obviously, is there another striker in there?
Nah, both kind of attacking midfielders. One has famously he's got a famous footballing father.
Hadji.
Yeah, it's Hadji. And the last one signed to much fanfare, like a lot of these Rangers signings in recent seasons. Was he Dutch, I think?
Sam Lammers.
Against Livy. There we go. Thank you to Scott Allen and to David Field of the Scottish Sun. We are almost there. The new season, I cannot believe it is here already. A summer where Scotland were at the World Cup. We were only just getting over the most dramatic season in Scottish football, arguably of all time. Let's see what the new campaign has in store. Enjoy your Friday, and Super Scoreboard back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. GBX is up next.